Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast. Running the Point with Jason Carey. We get an opportunity to have fantastic conversation. Season four continues to roll on. Before we get started, I'd like to say the grace. And for those that listen to me, you understand what the grace is. The grace is we're competing for ears. Especially now, there's so much noise and so many different podcasts. You could be anywhere else, but you choose to listen to me. And I appreciate that. So I'll make sure I tell you thank you every single time. We get a chance to sit down with Dr. Rhonda Travitt. We're going to have a conversation today and talk to you. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Dr. Travitt, you are you're a pastor, you're a counselor. You are highly decorated. You got a lot. You got a lot. Let's get into this a little bit. Where are you from, Ms. Travitt? Dr. Travitt. Make sure I say that doctor. You work for that. Got to make sure I say that doctor.
I'm originally from Houston, Texas.
Okay. Houston, Texas. I assume you. That's why I asked
that
Atlanta question.
Been in Atlanta about 13 years.
Oh, we got it. This is the, you are the, what, second or third person this season from Texas. I guess I'm... We hitting the Texas button this season. So you are top 100 most powerful and influential women of Georgia. That's huge. That's huge. Now, how do you get on a list like that? Because 100 is that's a small number in the grand scheme of things. So that means you're like the top 100. How do you get there? How do you get in the top 100?
Can I tell you, I still don't know to this day. I'm just honored and privileged to be there, working hard, just genuinely caring about people and spreading the love. I think that's how you get there.
One of the chosen few. That's what I think of. When I think of top 100, I say she's one of the chosen few.
Yeah, definitely my father in heaven, I tell you. I was surprised. But, all things are possible through Christ.
Indeed. So talk a little bit. How did you get into this field? Because I'm always curious how people get into their chosen profession. And I think that's interesting, that path, because sometimes you're kind of born to do this. How did you even go down this path? Or did you always want to be Dr. Rhonda Travitt? How did that happen for you?
No, actually, I came from a very strict home, and the last thing I wanted to do that I thought I would be doing would be pastoring and being in church. When I was emancipated from my childhood, I thought that I would be doing everything or anything but that. I wanted to teach college, not knowing that I would be actually pastoring. And then becoming a counselor. And I care about people. I always have. I take people for their own faith value. Just always wanted to help and assist and had a heart, not knowing that it would end up this route. But I think it's my God-given call to encourage those that are broken, those that are downtrodden. And when you come from a place, you always want to pull somebody up from a place. And that's where... I think that's where my passion is. That's where the passion comes from.
Yeah, it seems reading who you are and what you've done and what you've been awarded and the organizations that you're part of. It seems like you specialize in people that are in emotional or situational crisis. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment.
Okay. All right. That is again, that's probably comes from a place of, that's a big heart right there to go and can kind of see that and want to correct it, like kind of course correct. Hey, I see what's going on, and I think I have the tools to help you get to a better place. So, speaking of crisis, we're in COVID-19 right now, and we're a lot of people sitting down, we're shut down from city to city. People don't know what to do, and you're working on helping families rebuild and develop during this time. What is that? What does that mean?
Helping people to rebuild during this time is really just preparing them for what's going to be on the outside. Helping them. I have several people that have lost both parents during this time and this season. So just preparing people mentally. And I think the nation is going to have to be prepared for a lot of emotional healing. We're thinking about the economy, but we're definitely going to have to deal with a lot of post-traumatic stress and emotional situations. And that's where I always think about supply and demand. Mm-hmm. So there's a demand. And I always think business. Sometimes people think about business things. But with the supply and demand and the emotions, that's what I look at. How can I be a conduit? How can I be that vessel to supply? Because there's a great demand for this. And so someone has to step up and be that mediator right now.
Yes.
Because when you don't have closure for a situation, I say when you don't get to experience the encounter, you don't have closure. So a lot of people have not had the opportunity to be there with their loved ones, their husbands, their children, mother, father. So they didn't get to experience that encounter. So there's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of remorse. What if I could have, would have, should have? And so just being there to try to help them through that and not being dismissive of that emotion. I can give them my faith, but I can really try to just be present for them and not dismiss that going past their current emotion.
Do you see this time, because to that point, some families are forced to spend more time together. Couples are spending more time together. It's kind of like a pressure cooker. You think that's a positive thing? Or can it be a positive thing? Or what do you think is going to come out on the other side of this?
I think that it's a reawakening in the homes. I think from what I'm seeing,
I like that.
People are spending 16 hours in the family where they only spent a few hours. So it can be positive, but you have to have a mindset to work through that. Mm-hmm. You have to be quick to forgive. You have to be very intentional with your kids, with your husband, with your spouse. Very intentional in those close quarters. Because most of us were passing. With the children, you're passing. Now mothers are teaching. And a lot of them don't have the patience.
Yeah.
A lot of them didn't have the, IT skills, the technological skills.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of pressure. So I say be intentional. That's what I'm counseling. Be very intentional. Forgive quick. Do you have to say it at that time?
Intentional
and forgive
quick.
Just don't have to say.
Mm-hmm. You said some things you don't have to say.
Something you just don't have to say. Don't say it right now. Say it a little later when your emotions are not so into it. Close quarters can bring out a whole different beat.
Indeed,
right
it can. Indeed, it can. And to that point, I see people online, and you. I want to hear your perspective. I'm not married. You're married, correct?
I am.
Okay, so I'm not married. So this may be total different perspectives. But I see people online and I hear some of the people talk about, hey, the fella's like, man, I ain't gonna shave. I ain't shaved. I ain't put on no clothes. I ain't took a shower in 3 days. and I hear women kind of saying that too. And I think that's unfair to your significant other. Me personally, I think they got to look at you every day. They around you, although they love you. But I think that is a small gesture of service, I would think, to your significant other. Be like, you know what, I'm gonna keep it tight as I can possibly keep it, because we together, like you said, 16-18 hours, you gotta look at my face, you go from Instagram to me. So I want to make sure that I'm still, you know, that guy or the lady being that lady. But that's how my feeling. I feel like on both sides, that's what you should do. What's your perspective on that?
I agree. I think that we should try to make the best of everything. even communication, rekindling that, looking good for one another. Mm-hmm. I don't think she should dress up every day. There should be a dress down time. I think there's an exhale moment. There was an exhale where people just had to, they were going so much till they didn't want to put on clothes. We didn't want to put on makeup initially. Mm-hmm. I didn't. But once you exhale and you get in this and you know that you're going to be, you're in this for a while, you definitely need to put on a little makeup and just make sure you put the weave on, take the bonnet off.
Please take the bonnet off.
Look right.
Please, I am.
You got to take the bonnet off.
I am a fan of taking the bonnet off. I swear, that bonnet in the middle of the day, I can't do it. But and that really comes from, I think a lot, you know, our adulthood comes from the things that we got from our parents or our upbringing. And my mama never ever she is definitely like that. She said, hey, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna look right, I'm gonna comb my hair, I'm gonna put on a nice shirt, something, get yourself together, pull yourself together, especially in the middle of the day. So maybe that's where my expectations come from. But I need an expert opinion. I need a doctor to say that you need to put something on.
You know, it's important because if you don't, you can easily slip into depression.
That's huge.
I believe that without putting clothes on sometimes and dressing yourself up, washing your face, it's easy to get into a state of depression, just laying around doing nothing, and then your mind processing. Then it starts to overprompt. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the fear, the anxiety can set in. It comes out of nowhere. Well, I agree with you very strongly. Put some clothes on, you know, after a minute.
You look good, you feel good. That's what I heard Dr. Travis just say. If you look good, you feel good. Everybody, you listening? You look good, you feel good.
Exactly.
Your approach to counseling, I suppose, is described as a no-nonsense approach. And that was curious when I read that. It's a no-nonsense approach. What does that mean? When you hear that or when you say that, what is no-nonsense approach to speaking on depression and addiction and speaking of that? What does the no-nonsense approach mean? Because when I heard I read it, I was like, she the iron fist pastor, though, huh? She ain't going to take no stuff. So tell me, what does that mean?
Okay, no nonsense is, I don't want you to waste my time. Time is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to counsel with me, we're not coming in, you pull your mask down, there's no judgment, so it's no nonsense. I'm going to listen, I'm very compassionate, but I don't want to play. And you have to, I don't like being led down rabbit holes. So let's get to really where and what the problem is, and let's hit that. A lot of times we want to make this our problem, and it's actually something else.
Yes.
Because we don't want to deal with the pain of that, the real problem. So we'll mask it with another problem. And so that's the no-nonsense approach. I'm like, okay, that's not what you're really mad about. You're not really mad that you didn't put the toilet seat in. There's something deeper than
it's
that.
Something else.
That's something deeper than that.
Let's get to it.
That, kind of, no
let's
nonsense,
get to it.
You know?
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah. No fluff. No fluff. That's again, going back to parenthood, that sounds like a mama. That sounds like a black mama. Hey, don't play with me. Don't waste my time. Let's get to it. What's the real problem? That sounds like my mama. That's exactly what that's. So I like that approach.
It is.
I like that.
It really is. And that's what a lot of my patients call me. All right, mom, we ready. Let's go in here. Come in. Say, all right, mom, let's go. Yeah. And so I'm like, let's go. Let's go get it.
It definitely sounded like that. Like, hey, let's get in. But that's a good thing. I think you said, don't waste time. And we can get to the stuff. Get to the stuff. I think a lot of times in life, we don't get to the stuff. And we tell ourselves these stories that might not be true, or we fluff it up. Get to the stuff, and so we can get through it. And my mom was always, she's always like that. Let's get to it so we can go to the next thing. So shout out to all the mamas across the nation.
Exactly.
Don't be playing. Mama Dr. Travis. Dr. Mama Travis.
Mama Dr. Travis. All right, have you been in my house? That's what they call me.
For real? Oh my God. That is look, and it's yes, it's mom. Real. It's real because we developed that just in a few words. I got that. So yeah, it's real.
It's all from love. It's all from love. I mean, I love hard. So I want people to be better. And I oftentimes just rubbing a wound does not cause that wound to heal. Mm. So sometimes we have to pull the scab off. And, you know, mom had to pour a little alcohol in.
Yeah. You got
to disinfect that emotionally.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
I definitely agree that we have to. And stop blaming our parents. We go so far back in time until we haven't lived in our present.
Talk about that.
So many people we're blaming.
Blame the parents. You said don't blame the parents. Okay. The reason why I would say we can't. I don't know if we go back and blame people, but I do think you need to trace your history. And find the root of where your challenges come from. Yeah, it may have started there. Then I think you can work from there. And that's my opinion. Do you not believe that you can reach back and say, all right, this was the point that I had a challenge and it came from my household. But now I'm an adult and I can make my own decisions.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Whatever happened back then, you can't change it. And if you're going to live there, you won't meet your full potential. If you try to live there and keep rehearsing the pain, mama didn't do this, daddy wasn't there. There's nothing you can do about that now. You're either going to hold them to that, which hurts you, or you're going to release that. And sometimes you have to visit that. And that's very painful, especially with men and their fathers that were absent. So a lot of times you have to go to the root of what makes a person and what was missing, and then try to minister to that area. And I think that helps to make a person become whole. And then it changes their mentality. It evolves and the person becomes what they dream to be. They can dream bigger when there's not baggage.
Okay. All right. She dropping gems on y'all this morning. This is what she does. Speaking of evolving, you founded Transformation of a Nation, and you speak about the movement of the voiceless. Who are the voiceless? Who are the voiceless?
The voiceless right now are the people who have lost. Really have no one to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Who have lost loved ones.
Okay.
The nurses, the doctors are kind of the voiceless right now.
That's real.
Because they're expected to be something. So they can't really, at this moment, tell you all the frustration, all the pain that they're going through. Also, I love prison ministry. So I work with Game Changers. It's an organization that I founded. And it helps with the recidivism rate. So those guys and women that come out and they don't have a voice, and trying to give them an opportunity. Transformation of a Nation is just giving a person to believe, and to everybody made mistakes. Let's just go and try to help the person if they're willing to make those changes to evolve. And that's what Transformation of a Nation is, empowering and just helping and lending a helping hand, just believing in a person, giving them an opportunity, be that via mentorship, be that via a GED, education, job placement, whatever we can do, whatever you can be to assist one person, one person transforms a nation one by one by one that makes a nation.
I like that. So how strong, could you talk about just believing in somebody? And I can think about my upbringing and my past and somebody just a little bit, somebody believing in you. How strong is that? And how important is that? Just a little bit of faith in you, or telling somebody a little bit of encouragement. And that, for our listeners, how important is something so small yet so big, is that? Just encouraging, believing in somebody.
Well, it is huge. It is so huge. You don't know where a person came from. And I don't care if they came from the best of homes. The greatness still can be greater. And the encouragement, a kind word, will propel you to be better. And even adults, when you encourage them and tell them what you see and tap into their potential, they're like little kids. Their eyes gleam. They're excited. They want to go get it. All they needed was somebody to say, I believe in you. And they'll call just like and report, I'm excited. This happened today. I tried this. They try new things because someone believed in them.
Believe in somebody. Look, we sound like we're on a talk show right now, and which I guess we are. But you are the host of a talk show, and executive producer, and straight up no chaser. Tell us a little bit about Straight Up No Chaser.
Straight Up No Chaser is exactly that. Straight up. Let's talk straight up. We don't want to water it down. A lot of shows have to be politically correct. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be politically correct like that. I wanted people to let's talk about what's really going on. How do you feel? Right, wrong, or indifferent? Giving you a voice. I don't think it goes too far. I love interviewing people that are controversial. I just want to hear a new voice. I don't like parrots. Repeat.
Mm-hmm.
They're not unique. So a voice, a new voice that is not afraid to make that change or to declare something. I love interviewing Dr. Jamal Bryant. That was interesting. I love that. Julian Lark, that was interesting because he's a designer, but he speaks his truth. Not afraid to speak your truth. There has to be a platform where you can speak your truth without being politically correct. I think you're probably like that, Jason.
Yeah. 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 Need a space where you don't have to mince your words. You can say what you need to say. I believe that's a good place to be, and get it all out. So, well, speaking our truth, that is a perfect segue into, I guess, a question on our show. It's called Running the Point, and we have what I call the jump ball, where we have the point a point of discussion. And during this time, there's one of the things this is what my personal belief is during this time, COVID-19. And the shutdown and quarantine, I believe that we should be striving, creating, accomplishing. You should come out of this thing better. That's my feeling, that you should come out. You should be preparing right now. You should be in your trenches, whatever that is, your creative bag. This is how I feel, and just kind of how I move. Now, some say that Americans need their need to succeed, and all this goal talk is maybe too much pressure. And it's insensitive to tell people that you should be better after this. Speaking of no chaser, I don't think so. I think everyone should put on their big boy, big girl pants and just get to work. That's how I feel. You should just be getting to work. No complaining. You've been through it. Get to work. But that's me. Some people say I'm a little bit too aggressive with that. I want to get your take on that with your expertise. What should people be doing right now? Is it time to be like, I just gonna chill? Or should you come out like stronger?
No, I agree 100% with you. We should be coming out stronger. We should be coming out with an agenda. It is a shame if you stayed in this house as long as you have, and you come out the exact same.
I said the exact same thing. You should. Ain't no way you should come out of this the same. No way.
No way. No. We face too much. We faced mortality. We're faced our families getting back in stride. There should be creative juices. Okay, I don't want to ever have to work like that. I don't want to have to do on somebody's job like that. So I think the entrepreneurs should arise out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that patents should arise out of this. Absolutely. I mean, we know what's going on the outside. But what's going on in the inside is what's going to really matter to prepare you for the outside. because you're not going back to something that's normal.
Mm-hmm. You're not going back. You're not coming back to the same world. So for you to come back the same just sounds ridiculous to me. So all these people that are kind of pandering for this sensitivity, that I don't believe in that. I just didn't come from that, and I played sports and all that. Nobody had time for that. There's no nonsense. Nobody had time for all that coddling and participation trophies. So I just feel like people should be, we should be working, and we should continue to tell people to work. That's what I'm talking about. That there's this school of thought online where stop telling people they need to be better. And I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Do you find that? Do people even like that? You're in the business of making people better. Why, do you ever hear people say that?
They're not going to say that to me. They're not going to say that to me because of who I am. I mean, my personality wouldn't say. I don't like whining. So my personality wouldn't say that. I got so much love for you, but my love wants you to be better, not complacent. And so I think that in this time, we have to. That's my words. You got to come out of this stronger. You got to come out of this mentally better, emotionally. Your dreams, things that you were afraid to do, you have to do them now. Put them together now. Look at the world. That's what I'm doing. Looking at the world. And I said, God, there's always supply and demand. What is the demand right now? The demand is going to be that for what I do, help the transformation of a nation, one person at a time, reaching them, helping them to rebuild. Because we're going to have a society that is coming out of into post-traumatic stress, a lot of post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
So doctors, lawyers, mental, a lot of things that happen. And so my standpoint is, what can you do to be better and help someone else to be better? What do you have to give? Because I think we all have something on the inside of us, a gift, an assignment, predestined.
Come on
and
now.
And that we have to tap into that. I think God gave us a gift, and we have to bring that out, pull it out. Maybe he allowed certain things to slow us down so that you can begin to cultivate. It should be a cultivating time.
Wow, some good words. I'm a huge fan of words. You said an assignment. God gives an assignment. You should be cultivating right now. And I totally agree. I subscribe to that school of thought. So whatever that other school is, I ain't going to it. whatever that other school, I want no parts of that. You gave me something. I had to come back to it. You gave me something. You give me so much. So it's like, while we're talking, I'm like taking notes and be like, all right, now I gotta ask that. I need to ask that. See what I talking about? Having a conversation. It just kind of builds itself just by having a conversation. Are you from this? Well, before I get into that, I wanted to talk about Rejection and Rebellion, the Twin Towers. That you are the author of what, 4 books? How many books have you authored so far? 4 books?
I have 1 book right now.
Oh, okay.
In the midst of writing of it. So,
okay.
Yes, one on the shelf.
Okay. What's the title of the book?
Rejection and Rebellion, The Twin Towers.
Exactly. Okay. Well, elaborate on that a little bit. The Twin Towers. You call them Rejection and Rebellion, The Twin Towers. Tell me about that.
Okay. Dealing, coming up in counseling and being in church and in corporate America, I found that there was a common thing that everyone was dealing with in some form, rejection from the CEO all the way down to the janitor. There was some form of rejection, and rejection is the coin to rebellion. So people think people are just rebellious. Oftentimes there's a spirit of rejection that's in there. And I call them the Twin Towers because they tower over and stop destiny. And on every social, economic level, we were masked. And so people behaved, and I began to study their behavior. And the root of a lot of things is just rejection. People are critical because of rejection. People are insecure because of rejection. So I wanted to unmask. And first I unmasked the church. But we have to unmask the church. Because if the pastor's hurting, then you're going to have a hurt congregation.
Rejection.
If the CEO is sick, then the company, the people are under it, the manager, the project is sick.
That's real.
So when we begin to be okay and unmasked, then you're tapping to potential.
I like it. So rejection, and I think this is why I like that title, and why I like the subject of rejection, is because I think that's something that we had to come to grips with in general. I think that, and let me say that a different way. So, and I think I've said this on one of our shows before, I'm an actor, and part of being an actor, part of being an entertainer is rejection. Like the word no, I get that often. Well, maybe not often, but I've got used to, maybe it wasn't for me, right? And what I had at one time, that was, especially in the beginning, that was hard. But then I started to understand the game a little bit and understand that sometimes you don't get the role. It might not be that you don't have the right skill. It might be that you just weren't what they envisioned for this role. So you just didn't get it. You just wasn't right for this role today. You weren't good enough. And so I took that approach and then applied it to my life as well. That sometimes it just ain't the right fit. It's not. So rejection is part of life, but it made it easier to handle the no's. Do you believe that it's important to find a way to deal with the rejections that are going to come in life? Do you think that's important to find your own way to deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, no is a good way. Because we take no as a rejection, that I'm not good enough. But you have to go past this no to what did that no, why did that affect you so much? Why did that, some no shut people down.
Oh my
Jason.
God.
It just shut them down.
Yeah.
So let's go past this no, and what would the no that affects you so much mentally? And I think if we go back to that original no, or something that you wanted and couldn't have, then we'll understand why the no's right now cause us to have meltdown. I deal with some actors, and they'll actually have a meltdown, almost like a temper tantrum, because they didn't get a part.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take to the bed. But you have to turn that into a positive.
Comedians have to live enough life.
The nose into laughter.
Turn the nose into laughter. Yeah. True. Using that pain.
Yes. All things work together for the good. Yes. Everything that was meant to cause us to lack in life or not meet that a goal or dream, all of those things that was designed to be a setback always worked for my good. It hurt, but it made me stronger. And that's what I just heard you say. The no's made you stronger.
All day. All day. Like, no. Yeah, I can deal. I eat no's for breakfast. nose for breakfast. I wake up for the no. Your nose don't bother me at all. But you said that some no's can, because I know something happened last year that kind of took the wind out of my sails, and I talk about it all the time, for a little bit, and where it was kind of deflating. I worked so hard for something, and the opportunity presented itself, and then it just, but out of my control, it fizzled and went away, and it was just like, it was tough. So I asked that question. I'm going to ask, have you experienced that? Have you experienced a no that kind of hit you a little different, that kind of took you down a little bit? Have you experienced that personally?
Yes, I have. And that's part of the reason I wrote the book as well. I previously went through a divorce, and when you worked very hard to, it was years ago, but worked very hard to make something work, mm-hmm. and it doesn't, it's emotional. I mean, a divorce is a death almost. It is. And you have to go through the process, the same grieving process, because there was dreams involved with that.
Yeah.
There was connections involved with that. So, yes, I had a meltdown. That caused me severe depression. So that's why I say all things work together for the good. And like you said, some things are just not, you're not meant to have.
Yeah.
We want it. We pray for it at that moment, not knowing that God is God and that there's something on the other side of this that's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of that, you, like you said, you had to pull your boots up and get it together.
And get it together.
So, yes, absolutely. That deflated me for a while.
Which, in talking to you just now, and your answer just now, made me just realize how that actually helped me. The thing that I didn't, so I'm not talking obscurely. I got an opportunity. I was doing what I've done, radio. I started in radio because I wanted to do traditional radio, but from all the other things I've already done, I went to traditional radio and they told me, you're dope, you have the skill, but you don't have any experience. And I said, bet, I'll be back. And I went and created my radio show. Did it for a couple of years, 3-4 years, and did what I do online and got noticed from what I've done online and got the opportunity to go to traditional radio. Somebody called me, a program director, was like, hey, come do some radio for me. Bet. Championship. Everything I wanted to do. I get there, start, and then the station shuts down. And a week into it, took 2 months to get in there. A week into it, station shuts down. And I was like, what? God, what are you saying? What are you trying to tell me? Like, why would you take me that far just to shut it down? That's how I felt in the beginning. And so that was rather deflating. But now that I'm talking to you just now, I realized that had I scored that and put all my eggs in that basket right now, so many radio personalities and stations are shutting down and people have lost their positions. So I wouldn't have any of this foundation that I have now.
Look at that. It worked. No was a good thing.
Was a good thing.
Even though we didn't feel it at the time. And it's amazing that you can come to that. A lot of people can't come to those. I admire you already.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That you helped me a lot just having this conversation. See what I mean? Just having a conversation. Things just some things just work out. So we could talk all day, and I don't want to take up all your time today, but you are a speaker. You do seminars, conferences, expos. After we come out of this, is there something that people need to be looking forward to outside of going to get the book? Is there a place that they need to go to be able to catch you? Is anything coming up? No, I know it's uncertain.
Well,
times
there was
right
a lot
now.
Of things on the calendar, but I don't know what's going to come up out of this. Look for creativity. Look for definitely speaking. Look for straight up no chaser. Look for a platform. Look for a change. Look for a more evolved Dr. Wanda Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Coming at you, coming to you, coming for you. Look for her. Look for something new.
I love
because
it.
Because she's evolving in the midst of this.
If
you find me, keep up with me on social media.
So I was going to get to that. Are you doing, because a lot of churches are doing things online now. Individuals are doing things online, holding seminars online, doing day-to-day things. Is that something that you're doing now?
I am having services on Friday online at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And on Sundays at 11, my husband and I, at 11 a.m. Sunday morning at restoringtheyears.org.
Say that again. Restoring the Years?
Restoringtheyears.org. I also come online periodically as I'm led to do an apostolic prophetic update, see what's going on in the world from my perspective, my spiritual perspective. There's a lot of things going to come out of this good. I'm changing, like you said.
The world is changing. We are changing with it and finding new ways to get to people and help people and get the message out. So social
how
media.
Are you coping being single before we go? How are you coping being single?
Excellent.
In the pandemic.
Excellent. Fantastic. Excellent. I am continuing to, now I'm a workaholic. That's the other thing. I'm a workaholic. I'm a creative. And so like this time excites me. Like this time is like I call it the great American word problem. And people hated word problems when we were kids. They're like, man, word problems ain't never going to, I'm not going to use that in life. And I believe you use all those things. And so this is the great American word problem right now. It's like, what are you going to do? The world changed in an instant. What are you going to do? And so I'm excited every single day doing things like this. Continue to put out new content, continue to create and finding other ways to, generate revenue from my seat. So it's actually, I'm having a good time. So the single part of it don't bother me because I probably be like, all right, baby, thank you. Thank you. I talk to you later, and that probably wouldn't be good. So it's an excellent time. It's an excellent time for me. Thank you for asking, though.
Congratulations. You inspired me. It was such an honor to be on your show. Thank you so much for meeting you and talking to you today.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. What's your social media? If they want to get you on Instagram, Twitter, how do they follow you?
Instagram, all Dr. Rhonda Travis. You can find me everywhere at Dr. Rhonda Travis. And my webpage is drrhondatravis.com, rhondatravis.com. Social media, Instagram, Straight Up No Chaser, Sun Talk, on Instagram, on Facebook. So, Rhonda Travis.
Travis, T-R-A-V-I-T-T. I want you guys to know that. You got to make sure I put that extra T on there. That will help you. Look her up. Follow her. I want everybody that's following me to follow her. I'll follow you. I think I may have followed you last night, but if not, I'll make sure I follow you today. And keep up with you. I'm interested to see what comes of this and what the transformation is going to be. So everybody that's listening, make sure you follow Jason804 on Instagram, Twitter. I'm on Twitter again. I am a lover of words, so I'm back out there on Twitter. You guys come and join me over there. Also jasoncarey.net. Stop by the website, get a t-shirt, a hat, something. Come by and see what we got going on and check out the podcast. This is season 4. So if this is your first time listening, listen to the rest of them. We have some very interesting guests, especially this season. Awesome, awesome guests this season. And more to come. More to come. Thank you again, Dr. Rhonda Travis. This is Jason Carey, running the point on ATL Podcast Network. A few questions. Do you have a website? Do you need a logo? Look, if you don't have a website, you're not in business. Your answer for business imaging is ProWebFirm.net. Call ProWebFirm.net and we will design a custom website and logo for your business. Call us at 770-954-9141. That's 770-954-9141. Or visit us at www.ProWebFirm.net.